Good afternoon and welcome to our monthly broadcast for the nursing home. Thank you for taking the time just to join with us just for a short half hour around God's Word. We're just going to start by singing together from one of our hymns. There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. The words will come up on the screen and I encourage you to join in and sing along. Praise to the Lord. Thank you. Let's just unite our hearts just for a wee minute in prayer. Just ask you just to remain still and even encourage you to bow your head with me. Close your eyes as we come before the Lord our God. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can gather in this way virtually. And Lord, we pray for Thy blessing upon each of the homes that are gathered here to listen to Thy word and each person sitting around the screen, Lord. We just ask that Thou would remember them each one. We pray for those in the homes, Lord, that Thou would touch them and help them in their infirmities and in their illnesses. We pray for the staff too, and we thank Thee for the work that they do, that Thou would bless them, Lord, and even take away every distraction as we come shortly to Thy word here this afternoon, and encourage us this afternoon, Lord, and bless even each one that takes part. Bethany, that will read for us shortly, and Chris, as he comes to bring Thy word, we pray that Thy word would not return unto Thee void, but it would prosper in the thing whereunto Thou hast sent it and accomplish that which Thou dost please. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that sweet story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought Him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. We thank Thee for His Saviour. He came and He sought us and He bought us with His own redeeming blood. So continue with us this afternoon. And Lord, we do pray for that day that very soon we'll be able to go out to the homes in person. We'll be able to meet together once again, face to face. So, Lord, we just commit this meeting into Thy hand, in Jesus' precious name, and for Thy glory. Amen. Our second hymn is going to be, Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. We're going to sing this hymn together, and after that, Bethany will come and read from God's Word, the Bible, to us.
Thank you. reading today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 to 29, and we read there, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee for ever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, and concerning his house, establish it for ever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified for ever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue for ever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed for ever."
Well, in this passage of scripture that was just read, we have really David's desire for a house to be built, dedicated unto the Lord. He passes through a prophet called Nathan, and the Lord, through Nathan, tells David that the duty to build the house of the Lord isn't going to be for him. But God responds with promises to David, promises that there'll be someone that will be raised up after him who will build a house dedicated unto the Lord. And of course, the Lord, he goes on to promise that he will establish David's kingdom and he will establish his throne forever and ever. And David responds to God's message with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for all that he has done for him, giving thanks for the promises that God has promised to David. And he is also praying that God would fulfill these promises. But there's a particular part in that reading, verses 22 to 24. And it is really the thought where David says that there is none like the Lord God. That's what I want us to think about today, that there is none like the Lord God. And in the first 23, I want us to think, first of all, why that there is no God like the Lord God, because God went to redeem a people for himself. Unlike all the other gods and religions, God humbled himself, taking on flesh, manifest in the flesh. He became the God-man for us. None other gods humbled themselves. And many would think, well, why would a God have to humble himself? A God is all-powerful. Should he not be exalted through his great might and power? Well, God is exalted far above all in the fact that he humbled himself. Whenever we think of the gospel, we read that how that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who was manifest in the flesh. And we read that even through that humbling, he gave himself a ransom for many. He gave his life for us. And he came from heaven to redeem a people to himself. And of course, the word redeem means to regain or to recover possession in exchange for a payment. And how did God redeem us? What was the payment that was made? I can say that through the gospel that Jesus Christ bought us with his own blood, with his own life. He died the just for the unjust, which is us. We are the unjust. We are only hell-deserving sinners. and all our goodness and all our righteousnesses, no matter how good they may appear in our eyes, they're only as filthy rags before a holy God. And we read about how in this text in verse 23 that God went to redeem a people unto himself. We read that God sent his Son into this world to save the world, Jesus Christ. And he, whenever he was here on earth, he never broke the commandments, he never sinned. He lived perfectly, and he became the ultimate sin bearer for us. And he lived for our righteousness, and he died for our sins. And on the cross, he paid the penalty that we should have paid. But Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross. He satisfied divine justice on the cross, and he paid it all for us. And even in this verse, we read about how that God redeemed Israel from Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible is a picture of tribulation, of great trouble, and of great suffering. And that is why, that's what they inflicted Israel with. Whenever we think about Exodus, whenever they fell in with Egypt, they became slaves to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh. And so sin, while there may be seasons of joy, and may lead to us living prosperously, its end result leads us to tribulation, to suffering, to trouble. And even if it allows us to live through life prosperously, we read that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I'm not referring to a physical death, but rather the spiritual, eternal death in that place called hell, where the wrath of God is poured out in all unrighteousness. That is where the sin debt is paid. And that is, whenever we think about Egypt back in that time, it was a place that was rich with royalty and was attractive in its riches and royalty and its architecture. And so sin, it has an attraction to us, and how that we always seem to long for sin and to follow after it. And yet, whenever Israel followed after Egypt, they were in bondage. And so therefore, that same thing can happen to us. And that is why the gospel call is that we repent and flee from sin. Sin is dangerous. Sin will condemn us to a lost eternity. And therefore we must let go of sin and cling to Christ alone for salvation. Depend entirely on him alone. And he can save our soul. And God, he has done great things for us. He is exalted far above all. Well, secondly, to think about how God is a covenant-keeping God and how he keeps his promises. And even in the first 24, we read about how God covenants with Israel that they would be his people and he would be their God. And so God promises the same to those of us who are saved, who are born again. He promises in his word that he will be our God and we will be his people. You consider Revelation 21. I would encourage you reading it at home. It really does show much of what heaven will be. But in Revelation 21, in the first three, we read that God, he will dwell with them, that is, us that have been saved, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And you know, even in that chapter, we read as well in the first seven that I will be his God and he shall be my son. And we could see in that chapter how that God delights in those who are saved. He delights to call them his people, and he delights to be brought into identification to be their God. And throughout the word of God, not only in this chapter, we can see so clearly that God loves his people. God loves us who are saved. And he even died for us, and he bought us with his own blood. He went far beyond what we could ever possibly think or imagine. God is also covenant in John 6:37 that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you know, while we're talking about promises that perhaps we haven't seen fulfilled yet in our life, but yet we believe in, we can even consider what we've been reading about God's promise that a temple will be built unto him. And there was fulfillment in that. If we jump ahead to 1 Kings 5 and 6, we read that God did raise up a person in David's seed, which was Solomon. And he built the house dedicated unto the Lord. That was fulfillment of God's promise. I want us lastly to consider that there is no God like the Lord God, because God is building his people a house. If we read the verse 27, it reads, "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servants, saying, I will build thee an house." What encouragement that is. And you can even think about John's Gospel 14, verses 2 to 3, where you read, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, whenever, as I was pointing out Revelation 21, you can also include the chapter 22. And if you take time to read those chapters, you'll be encouraged as believers of Christ to think of what heaven will be like. How we can be encouraged to think of this wonderful place. And even just to summarize what heaven is and what it's like, it is an eternal place far beyond the starry sky. It's a place where we, God's people, can be brought before the throne of God. You know, while here on earth, we read about, because of our sins, our sin is what has separated us from a closer and sweeter fellowship with God. But because in heaven, the presence of sin is completely removed, no more will it grieve us. Therefore, we are brought nigh unto God in the sweetest and most blessed communion and fellowship with God. And praise God, it is forever with the Lord. And you know, a lot of people in different religions, whenever they talk about heaven, they relate to it in more of a selfish way, that you'll get whatever you want, you'll have whatever you want. But that isn't what heaven really is in the Word of God. Heaven is a place where we are forever with the Lord. It is the place where we will know fullness of joy and fullness of love and fullness of peace. We don't even know what true joy or true peace or true love really is here on earth. But in heaven we will know it in the fullness, because God is all these things. And we will be brought near unto him. And it will be the sweetest communion and the greatest gathering, where God's people will be together. Even you that are in the nursing home, and perhaps I haven't got seeing you yet, praise God, if you're saved, we'll meet in the sweet by and by. If we never meet again in this side of eternity, we're guaranteed we'll meet on that beautiful shore. One of my favorite choruses is "God is Still on the Throne," and one of the verses has this to say: "You may live in a tent or a cottage, unnoticed by those who pass by, but a mansion for you he is building in that beautiful city on high. It will outshine the wealth and the splendor of the richest on earth we have known. He is the architect true, and he is building for you. God is still on the throne." I want to say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And my challenge to you today is that, have you made that preparation? Are you one of those that are prepared for this place, heaven? And let me go a step further. Have you made preparation for when you meet before God? Have you had your sins forgiven? Are you trusting fully and completely on Christ alone? I trust that today you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Cling to him alone for forgiveness and salvation. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust that we will meet, if we never meet again on this side of eternity, we will meet in that wonderful, indescribable place, in the sweet by and by, in that wonderful place called heaven. May God bless those thoughts to your hearts. Maybe we're going to just close in a brief word of prayer. I trust that the Lord will bless all that's been said and done. Heavenly Father, we just thank thee, Lord, for thy word and the comforts that there is. And Lord, we just pray, dear Lord, thou would speak on while the voice of man is silent. Lord, we pray, Lord, thou would speak through thy word, and that, Lord, thou would speak through all the different aspects of this broadcast. O God, we pray that thy Son would be uplifted and honored and glorified, and that precious souls would be drawn unto thyself. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. and worthy name. Amen.
Close our broadcast in a wee word of prayer once again, and let's just still our hearts before the Lord. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy word this afternoon, and we pray Thou would bless it to each and every one of our hearts. And O Lord, help us to think upon what we've heard this afternoon, and that Thou would lay up Thy word in our hearts, Lord, and that it would indeed be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through to our hearts and to our souls. We pray that Thou would work in the hearts of those that have listened, Lord, lest the devil would come and steal away that seed that's been sown. Bless the homes, Lord, and we thank Thee and we can praise Thee. For we here say that the Lord is indeed our God, and one day we will see Him face to face, and we'll be with Thee in the glory. But, O Lord, we pray for those who are yet without Christ, that, Lord, Thou would draw near to them, and that they would hear Thee knocking at the heart's door, that would draw the bolt, and let in the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us, Lord, and part us with Thy fear and with Thy favour, for Jesus' sake and for Thy glory. Amen.